If you're left in the auditorium with me, turn to the book of Revelation, the second chapter, the 12th verse, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And since this is being recorded, recording is on. We're going to give a shout out to Yoshiko Albert, who is there in Japan. Not listening tonight, but she is going to listen to this recording. And Yoshiko, we're praying for you. And we received your note. We read it in the service on Sunday evening. And we are delighted that even though you're halfway around the world, you are still tuning in and keeping track of what's going on here at Lighthouse. We're in Revelation chapter 2. We're at the next church. We're in the 12th verse, and it is the church at Pergamos. And the Bible says in the 12th verse, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is." That's a very interesting phrase. "And thou holdest fast my name, and hath not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr." Antipas was the pastor at Pergamos, and he was brutally killed. "Who was slain among you." That'll discourage you. They come in and grab the preacher, take him out and kill him. That might give you a little bit of pause before you showed up to the next church service, wouldn't it? Just a little bit. "Who was slain among you," and this is said a second time, "where Satan dwelleth." So we saw that in verse 13, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is." And then in the end of that verse, "where Satan dwelleth." You say, "Preacher, okay, we get it. What's the big deal?" Because we're not the only ones that know that's in the Bible. Did you know that people that do not follow God, do not know God as His Savior, know a lot about the Bible and have grasped a hold of that verse to take action in the world? For instance, Nebuchadnezzar had a temple built, and he had his names on the bricks. And when Saddam Hussein was rebuilding that temple, he studied the book of Revelation, and he wanted to be the top dog. And on top of those bricks that were laid in the Babylon of the Old Testament, he had his names inscribed on the bricks and rebuilt that. Why? Because he wanted to be the one that was going to annihilate Israel and push him into the sea and defy the Word of God. He knew the Word of God and set out to defy it. He's not the first one. I will show you another one this evening. Verse 14, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." Notice verse 14, that Christ, talking to this church, the church at Pergamos, he says, "I have somewhat against thee, a few things against thee." You've got people there that in your church that hold the doctrine of Balaam. And you're not doing anything about it? Don't we live in a day of toleration? Let's just tolerate it. That's nothing new. They were tolerating it. And God says, "I have something against you because you're tolerating wickedness." So it's not just a matter of doing right. Let me ask you, what do you tolerate? It's a good question. Verse 15, So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." Nicolaity, to control the laity, denominationalism. It doesn't mean that you can't have Baptists on your church sign, but God doesn't want a whole bunch of churches to be part of a pact that they call a convention. He just doesn't want that. Why? Because when one church goes bad, the whole kit and caboodle goes bad. And you don't see that in God's Word, except for here, where God says, I hate it. I don't like it. I don't want it. You got those people there who are pushing you in that direction, and you're tolerating them. And God said, I have somewhat. And then notice what God says. Christ says to them in verse 16, repent or else. Are you threatening me? No, I am not threatening you, but Jesus Christ is, so you might want to pay attention to that. Repent or else. Or else I will do what? I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And then in verse 17, as we have seen so many times, the Word of God is dependent upon willful hearers. Are you a willful hearer? Will you look at God's Word and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? Or have we become a church that just dismisses it? We're just going to tolerate it. Oh, you know, we preacher, he loves the King James Bible, but we can take it or leave it. He wants conservative music, we can take it or leave it. He's got conservative dress, but we can take it or leave it. And you just tolerate. And God said, hey, I'm going to come up quickly. I'm going to do the fighting. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, notice that's in capital letters, Holy Spirit, saith unto the churches. Interesting blessing. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Number two, we'll give him a white stone. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. That's where that song comes from. It comes right from Revelation chapter 2 and the church of Pergamos. Pergamos was one of those, one of the finest cities of Asia. Had what I understand to be the second largest library in the world at the time, some 200,000 volumes. That's a large library, even by today's standards. And by those days' standards, it was almost unheard of. As then and today, they were wicked. We are wicked in our nation, in our large cities. That's a large city, and they are wicked. Wicked and idolatrous. Aesculapius, the demagogue of medicine and healing, was in this place. They had a temple. In the temple, they had a sign above the door that said, death is not permitted here. So if this is their plan for healing, it would be their hospital of the day. You would come to the hospital. If you were going to die, they didn't let you in. I'm sorry, you're really sick. Looks like you're going to die. You can't come to the hospital. Imagine that. But that was their medicine of the day. And so you would come in. If you looked like you were going to live and you were going to get better, then they would admit you as a patient. I suspect that it had something to do with their healing rate. What's your healing rate? We have 100%. Nobody dies in our hospital. Of course, if you're going to die, we don't let you in. And that's one of those little things that was not stressed, but here it is at the time. Dying people need not enter. So in the medical symbol that we have today, you know, it's got a snake on it, right? The medical symbol for healing, that comes from Pergamos. It comes from this temple. You would come in if you were sick and they evaluated you and thought you were going to get better. They would let you come in. You could take your bed there, and they had snakes crawling all over the floor. And you would take your bed, you would lay down, and at night the snake would come and crawl on top of you and over you and lay with you. Sorry, Mrs. Warren. Mrs. Warren, it's just the next church. Mrs. Warren says, every time I preach about snakes, they have one in their house. Not a good thing. So, you would come there, and the snake would lay with you, lay on top of you, bed down with you. Now, they were all non-poisonous. Debbie, it sounds like a hospital you want to go to anytime soon. Debbie's going, no. Okay. And so you would get up in the morning. If you had a dream, then you would sit down with the temple priest. You would tell him what your dream was, and then he would prescribe the treatment based on the snake laying with you and the dream that you had. sound like modern medicine to you? It was the modern medicine of the time. Say, preacher, what do you think about when you see that? I'll tell you what I think about. I'd be having a dream, and it would be a nightmare. I hate snakes. I hate the big ones, small ones, little ones, tall ones, green ones, brown ones. I am not a snake person at all whatsoever. So I'd be having a nightmare. And they probably tell me, well, you're probably, based on the dream that you've had, you're probably going to die. Probably, I'd be one of those guys. But anyways, that is, today, again, we have the caduceus symbol, that snake symbol, which derives from Pergamos, snakes crawling on the floor of the quote-unquote hospital, this temple for healing and idolatry. Interesting. Today, we are our medical people take the Hippocratic Oath. But then, Apollo was the physician. Asclepius, Hygieia, Panacea, his daughters were the virgins of the health goddesses, if you will. But that was all going on at the time. What is the significance of that? And why do we talk about that? I need to bring to your mind, in the very beginning of the Bible, there is an event that God talks about in the Garden of Eden. And Satan was the serpent, was he not? And so here we have a culture that has adopted the snake, the serpent. And it should be no surprise, as we read about Pergamos, that God says this is the seat of Satan, this is where Satan dwells, and that the serpent is there as well. I'll just say this, it's creepy. Creepy, and not a place that I would want to visit. Again, Satan's seat was moved from Babylon. This is just kind of his interesting history. It was moved from Babylon to Pergamos. Eventually, Revelation chapter 17, Satan's seat is going to be in Rome. So, Babylon to Pergamos to Rome. But where is it today? Stay tuned. I'll give you that at the end of the message. So don't fall asleep, or you're gonna miss a neat bow all tied up. In this, we have verse 12 and 13. We have a challenge to hold fast. Antipas was the preacher, and all the and so much like who we talked about last week. So much like the preachers of the time in the churches of the day. If he would just worship the emperor as God, he could live. And so they arrested Antipas. He had the opportunity to worship the emperor as God or die. And he said, I will not. I will not. Much like the preachers of the day. And so they took him. They bound him in their temple. They had a huge bull made out of metal, hollow on the inside, with a door that opened on the side. Had all the ears were open, a nose open, had pipes coming out. And they took Antipas, they opened the metal animal, they stuck him tied inside, they closed the door, they built a fire underneath, and they roasted him alive. He wasn't the only one that they did. That was the whole purpose of this bull in the temple. You wonder why God says this is Satan's seat? And why are you tolerating that stuff? You have people in the church that are wicked. Why are you tolerating that? Yeah, there's a reason. God said that not once but twice in the same verse. They took Antipas as the person inside of the bull. Picture in your mind the Wall Street Bull, something big, something metal, with somebody cooking inside, screaming. As a person inside would scream, the noise would come out, the various pipes out of the bull, and the people would worship the bull, stating, the bull is speaking. The bull wasn't speaking. People were being tortured for their faith.
Now, just let me ask you a question. What so bad has happened to you for the cause of Christ that would make you not want to identify with Him? Well, they might fire me. Not like they fired Antipas. Why is it that these men, how is it that these men were able to stand for their faith? And we can't open our mouth to give a witness. It's just something the matter with that. We have become tolerant of our culture. How do we know, Pastor, where Satan is working today? I just made a list. This is not in any particular order. Where is Satan working? Go someplace where the Sodomites are bold and out there in everybody's face. Go to that kind of place. Go where the prostitutes are working the street. Find a place where the drunkards are in the curb and on the streets and on the corner in the middle of the day, rather than being at work and taking care of their family. Satan is at work. Go to a place where you find the drug addicts just sitting there shooting up and puffing on the streets. Did not you go with me last year to Baltimore during the middle of the day and see that firsthand? And Brother Morales is going into harm's way. He's going to the seat of Satan. That's where Satan is working. Go with me to the drug acts, where the criminals are running and ruling the streets. Find a place. You want to find out where Satan is working? Find a place where the voting bloc for abortion, the killing of babies, is so strong. And I'll tell you, you've got a place where Satan is working. Say, preacher, what does that say about Northern Virginia? You tell me. You tell me. Northern Virginia is a place where Satan is working, where people vote for the killing of babies. And it is to be a right. But it is not to be tolerated. It is not. Find a place where the false cults, the Muslim, the Hindu, the Romanists, the Protestants, the Scientologies, the Moonies, satanic clubs in the schools, and you'll find a place where Satan is working. I'll tell you, 35 years ago, here in Fairfax County in Northern Virginia, it was not unusual for us, police officers, to be sent to a park in the middle of the night, because there were kids and young people and adults back in the woods, in the parks, that were having satanic rituals. I tell you what, you think I'm scared of the dark? You just tell me, hey, we got a call back here in the park, and we want you to go find these people that are worshiping Satan and sacrificing animals and cats and dogs and things, and hopefully not people, and you need to go back there and investigate it. I'll tell you what, you walk back there in the dark, and the hair on your neck will literally stand on end. You hear a scream going on back there, and you go, where in the world did that come from? It's echoing off the trees. You have no idea. Listen, and that was 35 years ago. But the world's getting better and better, right? I'm sure that doesn't go on today. I think we're just a bit worse than there. What is that? That's where Satan is working. Over the years, I have walked into the room of many a young person that was dark and satanic. Say, preacher, why do you mention that? I'm not talking about people outside the church. I'm talking about people that come in this room, and you've got a child in your home that has a room that is dark and satanic. What is that? We're tolerating that. Well, you know, my kid, I can't do anything about it. We tolerate that. The Church of Pergamos. And listen to what the Savior says. Repent or else. Repent or else. This is not to be tolerated, but you're tolerating it. What do you tolerate? What do you tolerate? And there is the challenge to repent. What is the doctrine of Balaam? You can go to the Old Testament scriptures, Numbers 22. 2 Peter talks about that. Jude, verse 11, talks about that. Obviously, Revelation chapter 2, verse 14 talks about it. The counsel of Balaam was, you're not going to get Israel to turn away from God and to you. I'll tell you what. You send the scantily clad females over there and have them strut their stuff in front of the little Jewish boys. And before you know it, those little Jewish boys are going to be taking them out to lunch and dating them. And they're going to be getting married. And you can wreck Israel. Just send some gals to tickle their fancy. Is that not what they did to Samson? Was her name not Delilah? Satan's tactics have not changed today. What do you tolerate? What do you allow into your home? Where do you allow your children to go? What do you allow them to view? What do you tolerate? That's the church at Pergamos. 1,500 years later, this council of Balaam, has infected the church. When I was growing up, when I was just a little guy, church people, in a fundamental, independent, King James, soul-winning Baptist church, said to my dad, you cannot, Mr. Bishop, it's 1972. You can't raise kids like that anymore. They won't listen to you. They'll rebel. And my dad just said, you raise your kids your way, and I'll raise them God's way. Now, 50 years later, those same parents come up to my dad and say, I guess you were right. But at what cost? At what cost? See, the church at Pergamos, the doctrine, the practice, it is alive and well today, but it has been alive and well in every generation. The challenge this evening, especially if you have a young people in your home, is to ask yourself the question, what do you tolerate? What do you tolerate? Where is Satan working? Where the doctrine of Balaam is at work. Soothsayers, enchantments, magic spells, sorcery. Sounds a whole lot like Hollywood today. Several years ago, I have a young older lady, she was in heaven, and there was a particular TV program series that she liked. And I said, you watch that? She said, I do. And she was a good Christian lady, and I won't tell you her name, not to disparage her and her testimony. And I said, you know, that's satanic, right? Satan transforming himself into an angel of light. The Twilight series and the Touched by an Angel and all that stuff that tries to... Satan wants to make himself look good to you and to cause us to tolerate it. But God says, don't do that. And we were, Sunday morning, we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them did. And what did God talk about in that 10th chapter? He talked about the children of Israel as they saw the great things that God had done in the Exodus from Egypt, yet couldn't be bothered. Say, well, preacher, what has God done for me? Has not God given you salvation? Has He not given you an eternal gift of God, which is eternal life? Isn't that something to get excited about? I think it is. I think it is. Sound doctrine is vital. They tolerated false doctrine in their church, in their young people. And so verse 17 has the challenge to be an overcomer. Look at verse 17 again. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, will give him a white stone and a new name written down in glory. It's just a little trivia, tidbit of information. When we talk about Christ, when you go to church and it's probably routinely said, if we ask the question this evening, what were the last words of Christ to the church? We would say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'll just tell you that Revelation 2 is after that. And who is speaking? Jesus Christ is speaking. And what are you saying? Repent or else. His last words weren't go. Some of his last words were repent or else. And we should pay attention. Don't we pay attention to the last words? I'm certainly not minimizing go. And we should go. And we do go. But we should not ignore Revelation chapter 2 either. What is a hidden manna? Fellowship with Christ. Wasn't Christ the manna in the Old Testament? Hidden. Why do we say hidden? Because it's hidden from the world. And that special, close relationship with the Lord, not only is it hidden from the world, the Bible tells us it's foolishness to them. But it's also hidden to carnal Christians. This I find absolutely astounding. You say, preacher, what's the most astounding thing that you've been exposed to in your 30 years of ministry here at Lighthouse Baptist Church? Now, how can I put this in a nice way? It's when a person who has been a Christian for a long time, maybe even longer than me, looks at God's Word and they go, I don't see that. Pretty clear. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not of works. No, I don't see it that way. Isn't that what Galatians is all about? They just didn't see it that way. So they mixed grace with works. And what did you come up with? Hell. Because when you mix grace with works, you don't have grace anymore. Which is what's going on in the book of Galatians that we're studying on Sunday evenings. I can sit down with someone and say, just astounds me. Almost every single day, I can talk to somebody who knows Christ as their Savior, knows what the Bible says about a variety of different things. And I can look at them and say, I don't think that's a wise choice. This is what God's Word says. But they don't care what God's Word says. That's frightening. Absolutely frightening. Do you care? I don't think that's the best choice based on what I know of God's Word. Oh, well, that's for you and this is for me. That's for your family. This is for mine. You raise your family your way and I'll raise them my way. And God says, repent or else. That's what God says. Hey, this is probably not a good illustration. Danger! Danger, Will Robinson! You remember whatever that my dad wouldn't let us watch that, but I remember that robot who would shake his arm going, danger, 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 Will Robinson! I just want to say, man, danger, danger. Isn't that going to end well? Satan wants to grab you and destroy your family. He absolutely does. And he's active. He's active in our communities, active in our schools, but he should not be active in our churches. He should not be active in our homes. What do you tolerate? What do you watch? What do you enjoy? The lady I talked to, again, she's in heaven several years ago, and I said, you know, that's satanic, made to dress up to look good. They talk about spirits and seeing things, and it's not biblical at all. And she said, this is what she said to me. She said, I'll never watch it again. I never looked at it that way before. Why? Because we, like the Church of Pergamos, have come to tolerate the works of darkness, the seed of Satan. White stone. White stone speaks of pardon. What does the black stone speak of? Satan. Satan. So it's interesting. The black stone speaks of condemnation. And so just for fun, I was sitting at my desk and I was studying for the message this evening. I said, if the white stone speaks of pardon, and the black stone speaks of condemnation, I wonder what's going to come up if I enter into my search bar the black stone of Satan. And so I did. Black stone of Satan. Do you want to know the first thing that came up? Pergamos. Pergamos. I was shocked. Shocked. Do you know what I found about Pergamos? That the temple of Satan was moved from Babylon to Pergamos. And in 1930, somebody studying their Bible, a man by the name of Adolf Hitler, traveled down to Pergamos and took the temple, the seat of Satan, and built that in Berlin. Today, you can go to Berlin and go to the Museum of Pergamos, and you can see the seat of Satan reproduced in that Berlin Museum, the actual stones that were in Babylon, the actual stones that were in Pergamos are now in Berlin. Who do you think was behind Hitler's design to eliminate the Jewish people? Satan? I would say. Do you think it's coincidental that Hitler went to get the seat of Satan and put that in his city? If you believe in coincidences, wow. That's not coincidental. That's a man who knew this part of the Bible, and he went there on purpose. In law enforcement, we would say with malice aforethought. But we shouldn't neglect, we shouldn't be erecting that in our homes today. We just should not. And the Bible says, hold fast and repent. Be an overcomer. Today, in Pergamos, and you can go and you can watch videos, lots of people have gone there and surveyed. All it is ruins in the city. Because Satan wrecks everything that he touches. Don't let him wreck your life, your home. Don't let him wreck your Sunday school class, this church. Don't let him. I challenge you to be an overcomer. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you'd help us to be wise and spiritual and discerning and to do an inventory of what we tolerate. And we'll thank you for what you do in our homes for generations to come, as we look to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.